It dawned on me as I was thinking about what to do this week, I have never given, I've been here 7 years, I've never given a sermon on the food laws. It's just one of those things where I don't know that we need to cover it all that often, but I thought, you know, this might be a good thing to go over today. So can you believe we've been here for 7 years? It seems like it happened overnight, but we've been here. Such a basic topic, maybe it's not something that we need to cover all that often, yet there are questions that come up from time to time. In fact, one young lady here said she got into a conversation with someone about it just this week. It comes up every once in a while, and so I thought this would be something that we can handle today. It is one of our fundamental beliefs. There is a trend going on right now toward going vegan. A lot of people think that having meat is a terrible thing. That you're actually murdering animals I don't know how that ever got started. And then also in 2017, I don't know if you realize this, Congress actually was trying to decide whether to allow horse meat in the United States. It actually came before Congress. Now, it got voted down as far as allowing it for meat in the United States, but they did pass a law saying that it was okay to raise and harvest horse meat to send to Mexico. And we are currently, there are farmers in the United States that are raising horse meat to send to Mexico. Let's hope that never happens in the United States. But you never know. You never know what's going to happen. There also are some cultural distinctiveness. If you ever go or travel overseas, it's very interesting to see what they do over there. My wife and I went to Jordan for the feast and did touring, and almost every day, what they would have for us was a cucumber sandwich. I don't know if any of you have ever had a cucumber sandwich. Actually, it was quite good. It's two pieces of bread, cucumbers, and a slab of cheese. And that was it. And we had that almost every day. And I got to the place where I really enjoyed. Now, the cucumbers there are different. They're small and really packed with flavor. The cucumbers here are a lot bigger, but very good. We do have cultural differences here. Now, I know for those of you outside, you can't see this. This is the Louisiana food pyramid. Emma, you may not understand this. Althea will have to explain it to you. But the food pyramid is king cakes, snowballs. I'm not even sure what a snowball is, to tell you. So someone tell me. How do you pronounce B-O-U-D-I-N? Someone say that word for me. Poudin. See, that wouldn't come out of my mouth either. Po' boys, you should know what that is. Daiquiris that you can buy in a to-go place. For those of you on the internet, you may not realize that. You can go buy a daiquiri in a to-go place. Seafood, and then down at the bottom is gumbo, jambalaya, red beans and rice, and etouffee. So this is the local cuisine down here. Depends on where you go. A lot of people have a lot of different things that they eat. But what I wanted to do today was just take a little bit of time to discuss what the biblical food laws are. This is simply one of our fundamental beliefs. It is the shortest of all of the fundamental beliefs. It's basically just two sentences long, but here's what it says. Meat identified as unclean, and we're going to spend time talking about what the word unclean means today. Meat identified as unclean in the Bible is not to be consumed by humans. Lists of clean and unclean meats are found in God's instructions concerning what should and should not be eaten. And the scriptural support is Leviticus 11, which we'll go through in detail, and then also in Deuteronomy chapter 14. So it's very simple. If the Bible says don't eat it, that's what we teach, we don't do. There's some miscommunication about the food laws, and I want to be careful. There is a saying that I never heard before being in the church area where Doug Horchek was, and he always would talk to us about this. It says, be careful that you don't break into jail. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard that term or not, but he would say that a lot. So there are some times when people will say things about the food laws that actually aren't correct. And if they say them and you get caught on the carpet, then it almost looks like you don't know what you're talking about. And we'll talk about that today as we go through this as well. So why do we keep these laws? Many would say that, pig isn't good for you. So therefore, God knew what what we should or shouldn't eat. But I want to show you today how we can be, we have to be careful with what we say, because there are times when we say things like that, and that can be a dangerous assumption. Some claim that we don't eat animals that eat other unclean animals. As an example, we don't eat an eagle because an eagle eats other unclean animals. Well, that's actually not true. I go fishing for red snapper, and I use shrimp as a bait. So you can't, sometimes you say things and you realize, well, that doesn't make sense. Some people would say, you know, well, we can eat a cow because a cow eats grass. Well, if that's true, then we should be able to also eat horses, because horses only eat grass. You have to be careful with how you say this. Some will cite medical research that support the fact that we don't eat pork, as an example. Well, I'm glad when medical science says the same thing, but we don't follow these food laws because medical science tells us it's okay or not okay. We follow the laws that are in the Bible. There is no scriptural claim that it is for our health. We say that sometimes, well, we don't eat unclean foods because they're not healthy for us. That actually is not why we don't eat unclean meats. We don't eat them because we're told not to eat them. We don't eat them because they're not good or they're not healthy for us. Bottom line is, we don't eat them because we're told not to. So are these minor commandments, where the Ten Commandments are major commandments? We'll want to talk about that today. So here's what I want to talk about, and it's three different sections of this. One is to look at scriptures that are prior to the law of Moses. Now, why would I go through that? There are people that say, no, Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, that's what Moses was told. So that's something that's just for the Jews or for the Israelites, because this was given to Moses. It didn't apply to anybody else. So we want to look at scriptures prior to Moses that talk about clean and unclean food. Then I want to review the two key chapters. One is Leviticus 11. We'll spend more time in there. And then I want to look at New Testament scriptures that are used to try and discredit the food laws of the Old Testament. Because there are people that will look at, especially the Apostle Paul's writing, and say, no, Paul was very clear that it's okay to eat unclean food. So we'll look at all of those things today. So here's the question. Let's go through the first part of this. Was the laws of clean and unclean meat known by before it was given to Moses after Mount Sinai? The question is, was eating meat even allowed by God? You know, there are people that follow the vegan or the vegetarian things that will go back to Genesis and say God never intended for us to eat meat in the first place. I don't know if you realize that. Let's actually look at this. This is Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 29. Genesis 1, verse 29, in which God tells Adam and Eve, God said, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. So here's God saying, Adam and Eve, I have given you herb, I have given you vegetables, I have given you grain, I have given you fruit, and that's what you eat. Verse 30, also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. So again, people would read that and say, God wants us to be vegetarians. Verse 31, then God saw everything that he had made, and it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So the question is, can you look at that scripture and say that even eating meat is a sin or is wrong? You know, there are people that, and in the church today, that believe this, that they think that the eating of meat that was allowed later on by God was never intended by God. I don't know how they get around that, the fact that God said, well, here are the meats that you can eat. But they'll look at this and say, no, it's very clear here that Adam and Eve never ate meat. In fact, they would even go so far as to say, and this again is breaking into jail, the fact that Adam and Eve sinned caused God to kill the first animal to give them the skins to wear, And therefore, God, the eating of meat is actually a punishment that was inflicted upon man because it was never intended in the first place. If that's so, then you're reading into what's said here. I want you to notice, too, it also says that every beast of the earth and every bird of the air is only supposed to eat grass. You realize that if lions ate nothing but grass, they would get sick and die. They have to have meat. So obviously, just to say here that this means that you can't eat meat doesn't make sense and doesn't hold water. I want to look at the first mention of clean and unclean foods here. This is Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. This is the first time that it's actually mentioned in the Bible. Then the Eternal said to Noah, Genesis 7, verse 1, "Come to the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. And you will take with you 7 each of every clean animal, a male and his female, 2 of each of the animals that are unclean, a male and his female, and also 7 each of the birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of the earth." So this is the first mention of the words clean and unclean. We're going to talk more about this as we go forward. These were given to Noah with no further explanation. They were to take 7 pair of clean and 1 pair of unclean animals into the ark. Now again, what does the word clean mean? Does it mean which are edible? Doesn't say here. In fact, I think it's interesting. Noah didn't ask, "What do you mean by this?" It obviously, he already knew what was going on here. But we teach that this was passed down from Adam and Eve all the way to the flood, and that Noah didn't have to question it. He knew what God meant by clean and unclean. Now you can read some of the Bible masters that supposedly know what they're talking about, and they will say, well, what God meant by this was, and then try and get around the health laws, that he wanted certain animals to be used for sacrifice. So that would have been what they meant by clean animals were animals that God would accept as a sacrifice. But again, that's not what's taught here. God did not have to explain to Noah what he meant by clean and unclean. This isn't a Jewish idea that originated in Mount Sinai. This was thousands of years ago when this was first mentioned. It isn't mentioned from Genesis 2 through 6, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't instituted until this time. It simply means that wasn't a part of the narrative. Now, I want to go forward a little bit. This is still in the book of Genesis in chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, this is after the flood. Genesis chapter 9 is starting in verse 1. "So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, and on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish that are in the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you.'" Uh-oh. This sounds like, you can't see them because they're on my screensaver, but I have 2 snakes at home. I call them the grand snakes. It sounds like they'd be okay to eat. Let's keep going. "Every moving thing that lives will be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs that he mentioned in Genesis chapter 1. So it sounds like here that absolutely everything is okay. "But you shall not eat flesh that still is alive." So in other words, you can't just go grab a fish and while it's still flopping around, take a bite out of it. You've got to cook the food first. "You will not eat flesh that has life in it, that is its blood. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man and from the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man." So again, what it sounds like is, number one, if God didn't give Adam and Eve meat, it's certainly okay by this time. But it also sounds like it's okay to eat any kind of meat. I want to read a couple of things. This is from BibleReference.com. This is one of those biblical masters that thinks that that they understand what's being said here. So here's what it says about this in Genesis chapter 7 and Genesis chapter 9. It said, at this point, the point of the flood, there is no restriction mentioned about defining certain animals as clean or unclean. This may have been understood in the sense that Noah would have considered these animals not previously defined as clean or inappropriate to eat. So in other words, they're saying at this point in time, the food laws probably weren't in effect yet. That didn't come until the time of Moses. So that's one opinion. Here's another opinion. This is from a Jewish website, so you can imagine they've got a different opinion of that. But I want you to think about the logic behind this here for a moment. God never, I'm quoting from, this is shalomadventure.com, talking about food. God never intended for man to eat every creature that had been created. It's hard to even picture a person eating cockroaches, rats, vultures, skunks, or jellyfish. In fact, the flesh of some creatures is so toxic it will kill a person immediately. God also said that man could eat every herb on the face of the earth, yet no one would think that God meant to eat poison ivy or deadly nightshade. All right, but can you see the flaw in the logic of what he's saying here? This is breaking into jail. He's saying here, the reason why we can't eat certain meat is because they're not good for us. The Bible nowhere says that. The Bible doesn't say, don't eat pork because it's not good for you. It says, don't eat pork. Right? So what he's saying here, and you're going to see several different quotes like this, that people will say, well, the reason why is because that meat is toxic and it's bad for humans. Now, I think there's a certain truth to that, right? From the time I was a baby, I haven't eaten pork. But if I get some by accident, I'm sick within 10 minutes. People that eat this regularly, they get used to it, but I'm not. So if I get something in me that I haven't eaten from the time I was a baby, I will get sick. But we do it, again, because God told us what to eat and what not to eat, and not because it's toxic. With this as a reason, as long as meat isn't toxic, then it should be okay to eat. But the Bible doesn't say, don't eat toxic meat. It tells us which meats we should and we shouldn't eat. I want to look at the scriptures that discuss this as the main topic. This is Leviticus chapter 11. I'm going to be going through this in a lot of detail. I also am going to be showing you pictures. We'll get to those pictures in just a moment. The pictures are all going to be from Mr. James Capo. Some of you know Mr. Capo. Before coming to Ambassador College, he was a photographer for, I want to say it was UPI or Associated Press. Was a professional photographer, and he still takes some amazing pictures. So as we go through each of these various kinds of animals, I'll show you some pictures that he did. But I want to start reading in the first two verses of Leviticus 11 and the last two verses, because they're kind of bookend statements, and then we will get into the middle of this. Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 1. Now the Eternal spoke to Moses and Aaron and said to them, speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the animals that you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. Now, I want to be very clear how he said this. He didn't say at this point in time, these are the animals that are clean and these are the animals that are unclean. That's in a different section. He's saying here, these are the animals that you can eat and these are the animals that you can't eat. And he's going to go through and list them. And then from verse 3 down to verse 45, we talk about that, and we'll get back to that in just a moment. But notice at the very end, verse 46 and 47, after he goes through this, he repeats the statement. This is the law, that word law in Hebrew is the Torah. This is the Torah or the law of the animals and of the birds and of every creature that moves in the water, of every creature that creeps on the earth, to distinguish between the unclean and the clean, and between the animal that may be eaten and the animal that may not be eaten. So this is the section that we're going to go through here today, to try and understand clearly what God said. There's no ambiguity to this. There's no maybes. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. This is just the law of God. So again, photo courtesy of Mr. Capo. He was on a safari, and he did not get that close to this wild animal. He's got a long lens, but these are pictures that he took. And again, for those people out on the hall, sorry that you can't see them. but this is the discussion of land animals. So we're going to start in Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 3. Leviticus 11 and verse 3. Among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hooves, and chews the cud, that you may eat. So it has to have both of them. Verse 4. Nevertheless, these are those that you shall not eat, those that chew the cud or those that have cloven hoofs, but not both. And they give example. The camel, it chews the cud, but it doesn't have cloven hooves. It is unclean to you. The rock hyrax, some type of badger probably, because it chews the cud but doesn't have cloven hoofs, it is unclean. The hare or the rabbit, it chews the cud but doesn't have cloven hoofs, it is unclean. The swine, it's the other way around. It has cloven hooves or divided hooves, yet it doesn't chew the cud, it is unclean. Their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. And then dropping down to verse 26, again, kind of repeats the statement. The carcass of an animal which divides the foot, now this doesn't say the hoof. Now this is an animal that has like a claw, that has fingers or like a claw. The carcass of any animal which divides the foot but is not cloven hoofed or does not chew the cud is unclean. Everyone that touches it shall be unclean, and whatever crawls on its paws among all animals that goes on all fours, they are unclean to you. So a dog, a cat, again, you go into certain communities around the world, dog meat is very common. Mr. Horchek talked about the first time that he ever saw this. I think he calls them grass cutters. Is it grass cutters? Anyway, they're very large rats the size of dogs that they regularly sell as meat in certain parts of Africa. And they just have them, they have them hanging up by the tails in open-air markets, and they're sold. Kind of scary when you think about it. But the animals that, land animals that are on the ground have to have a split hoof and they have to chew the cud. So if I understand it correctly, there are enough of those out there to supply us with deer meat and elk and all of that. Sometimes still people will ask a question, and I actually have a chart that I'll give to you if you want to take one home with you that lists which animals are clean and which ones are unclean. Again, this is the law that was given for animals that are on the earth. So these are land animals. Let's go on to the water animals. This, again, Mr. Capo was in Hawaii last year and went scuba diving. And took an underwater camera with him and was able to take this picture. You think my snakes are scary? Now, that would scare me. So let's talk about the water animals for a moment. Verse 9, Leviticus 11, verse 9. These you may eat of all that are in the water, whatever in the water that has fins and scales, whether in the seas or in the rivers, that you may eat. But all that are in the seas or in the rivers that don't have fins and scales, all that move in the water or any living thing which is in the water, they are an abomination to you. They shall be an abomination to you. You will not eat their flesh, but you will regard their carcasses as an abomination. Whatever in the water does not have fins or scales, that shall be an abomination to you. So that seems pretty straightforward, except there are some animals, I don't know if you've ever seen this or not, there are some fish that when they're young have scales, but then when they become adults, the scales drop off and then they have smooth skin. I'm trying to remember which one it is, but we actually had that discussion. What is it? Swordfish. Thank you. That's swordfish, when it's young, has fins and scales, but when it's old, it has the fins, but the scales drop off. So certain people would look at that and say, well, maybe that means you can have young swordfish but not old swordfish, and I don't know. I don't think I've ever had swordfish, but it doesn't sound appetizing to me anyway, so I probably won't have to worry about that one. But they have to have fins and scales. If not both, then it is an abomination. That word abomination, by the way, is an interesting word. The root word for that means to be filthy. You can read that through here. It's an abomination. It's like if it doesn't have fins and scales, then for some reason that has to be gross. Now, I want to read again. This is from Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown. This is one of the Bible commentaries, supposedly. This is, again, breaking into jail. See if you can hear the flaw in this. Fins and scales are the means by which the excretions, to get rid of the bad stuff inside them. The fins and scales are means by which the excretions of fish are carried off, the same as in animals by perspiration. I have never known an instance of disease produced by eating such fish, but those that have no fins and scales cause, in hot climates, the most malignant disorders when eaten, and in many cases, they have proven a mortal poison. Can you see the flaw in that? This is what it's saying. It's almost like they're trying to justify what God said, fins and scales, by saying, well, the fish with fins and scales, that's how they excrete their poisons, is out their scales or out their fins. And that's, I can assure you, that's not true. Having raised fish, that is not how they get rid of their excretions. It also says, just as animals do through perspiration, you know, we get rid of our sweat through perspiring. Well, if that's true, then we should be able to eat humans because humans perspire. You're seeing the problem in the logic here. The fact that God said fins and scales you can eat, if they don't have fins and scales, you can't eat them. Full stop. There's no reason to try and explain that. Well, again, like I say, you don't want to eat bottom feeding crabs or whatever because they just eat junk. Well, all fish eat junk. God said fish that you can eat have fins and scales. So that's the laws that we follow. Let's keep going. Let's look at birds. Mr. Capo spends a lot of time up in Alaska because he right now is the pastor for Homer, Alaska. And he goes up probably two or three times a year, takes his camera and his long lens, and he gets in a kayak and he goes out on the water. And he says that he just watches these birds fish. And he said that they're not afraid of him at all. They buzz him right over his head as they're fishing. And so this is one of the pictures. An eagle just looks angry, doesn't he? I don't know what it is about birds of prey like this, but they just got to look. So let's read what it says about various birds. Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 13. And these you shall regard as an abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the kite, the falcon after its kind, every raven after its kind, the ostrich, the short-eared owl, the seagull, the hawk after its kind, the little owl, the fisher owl, the screech owl, the white owl, the jackdaw, and it goes on and it mentions the stork, the heron, all of its kind, the bat. So sorry, guys, you can't eat bats. I was telling Marlis, my next-door neighbor called me yesterday, and he said, can you come over to my house? I've got an infestation. And I thought he was like termites or whatever. He had a bat infestation at his house. His wife was outside in the car with the doors locked. So I went over, and he and I got rid of some bats from his house. So these are the birds that it says we don't eat. Now, we don't have as clear of a distinction here. We have to look at this and realize what this was referring to were the birds that they had at the time that this was written. There are other species or orders of birds that aren't on here that we would assume are also unclean. We are merely given a list of what we can't eat, but this doesn't cover all of the birds in the world, and it doesn't cover what birds we can eat. So I'll ask you this question and see if you know the answer to this. I was asked, I'm trying to think of how long ago it was. It's probably about 15 years ago, someone that was just coming into the church and asked me the question, is duck clean? And I said, well, of course it is. And they said, well, how do you know? And I didn't have an answer for them. Because if you look here, it says what you don't eat, and a lot of these birds, again, you think about the ones that they mention here, the buzzard, the vultures, the eagles, the kites, those are carrion. They eat flesh, where a lot of the birds that we eat today, they eat grains or grass, or not grass, but grains and things like that. But this the distinction here is just a little bit different. You have to use some logic to figure out which ones are okay. All unclean birds, according to this list, are birds of prey. They eat carrion. They eat animals that have been killed. Again, Jewish findings, birds of prey and that have a hind toe are not clean. So if you even look at this picture, you can see that there's three in front and there's one in back. So anything like that would be considered unclean. Clean birds have a craw or a crop. If you know what that is, it's like a second. When they swallow the food, it goes into one section first, similar to how a cow has divided stomachs. Clean birds have a craw that will partially digest the food and then later on go into a second part. They have stomachs that are double-skinned, which can be separated, and they temporarily store the food until it can properly be digested. There's a great article in Life, Hope, and Truth called Is Duck Clean? And the reason why that article got written is I asked a guy in club once, is duck clean, after my experience? And he did the same thing. Well, of course it is. And I said, prove it. And he couldn't. So I assigned it to him as a speech, and he gave it as a speech on is duck clean, and then that turned into an article. It's a very, very interesting article. All right, how about this next classification called the flying insects? This one can be a little gross. There are some insects that they say are just fine to eat that I wouldn't dare. I'd feed them to my snakes, but I wouldn't eat them myself. But let's look and see what it says about the flying insects. This is, again, in Leviticus 11, starting in verse 20. All flying insects that creep on all fours will be an abomination to you. Yet these you may eat of every flying insect that creeps on all fours, those which have jointed legs above their feet, with which to leap on the earth. These you may eat, the locust after its kind, the destroying locust after its kind, the cricket after its kind, the grasshopper after its kind, but all other flying insects which have 4 feet shall be an abomination to you. I've put a lot of crickets in my time in spider webs, but I've never actually tried to eat one. We know that, was it John the Baptist? He ate locusts and wild honey. If that was his regular diet, anyway. So we do have this here, that this is the laws of the flying insects. So we don't eat butterflies. We don't eat moths. We collect them. I said, anybody ever collect butterflies as kids? I don't know what it is about them that's so pretty. And again, let's end where we started out with. This is the very bottom, or the last two verses of Leviticus chapter 11. Verses 46 and 47, this is the law of the animals and the birds and every living creature that moves in the water, and of every creature that creeps on the earth, to distinguish between the unclean and the clean, and between the animals that may be eaten and the animals that may not be eaten. Again, whether it's good for us health-wise or bad for us health-wise is beside the point. We simply follow this because this is what we were told to do. A lot of things, if you look at them in the Bible, I'm sure one of these days when we sit down and we ask God, well, why was this animal unclean, or why did you do it this way, or why did you do it that way, I'm sure that he'll have a good explanation for it. But he didn't always give us those explanations. And sometimes I think that's a good thing. There are times when you test your kids, don't you? You say, I don't want you to do this. Now, you could say, and here's why, and give a list of reasons. But sometimes you just simply say, I don't want you to do this. And then you see whether or not they're going to be faithful to what you say. I think sometimes that's what God has done for us. He's given us an opportunity to obey him if we'll follow his laws. Now, Deuteronomy 14, and I won't go into that, but Deuteronomy 14, the word Deuteronomy, by the way, in case you didn't know this, it simply means the second law, the second giving of the law. Leviticus was written early when they had left Egypt and were early in the trek through the wilderness. Deuteronomy was given as they were about to enter back into the Holy Land, because the first generation had died off and these people didn't hear what Moses had said directly. So 40 years later, Deuteronomy is written and basically says the same thing. Now what I want to do is shift focus, and let's go to the New Testament now, and let's start reading about what the Bible says in the New Testament about whether the food laws are or are not still in effect. So, anybody know who that guy is, by the way? That was on our Life, Hope, and Truth website, and I didn't know if that was one of our young adults. Doesn't look familiar to anyone? Maybe we just got that off the internet somewhere. But here are scriptures that are used by people to try and discount whether the foods are clean or unclean. Let's start in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. This are the words of Jesus Christ himself, Mark chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. So he, Jesus, said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods?" Okay, so this makes it sound like you can eat anything. Is that what Jesus Christ was saying? Now, we've done this before. Anytime that you read something, you have to try and understand the context about what was being said. Was this describing shellfish or pork or something like that? Was that the discussion that was going on here? So let's go back and let's read what actually was being talked about. Let's go back into the earlier part of Mark chapter 7. Now, when they saw some of the disciples eating, what were they eating? Bread. This is a discussion about eating bread. When Christ said all foods are clean, this was a discussion about eating bread, not eating meat. When he saw some of the disciples that were eating bread with defile, that is, unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews don't eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding to the tradition of the elders. They had mikvahs. I don't know if you know what a mikvah is, but it was a place that there where they would hold water. And before they would eat, they would wash their hands up to the elbows, and they did it in a special way, kind of like when doctors go into surgery. You've seen where they wash up and they scrub for this certain amount of time, then they come out with their hands up. The Pharisees had a ritual of washing before they would take a piece of bread. So they were finding fault. Verse 4, "And when they come from the marketplace, they don't eat unless they wash. And there were many other things which they received and hold, like the washing of cups and pitchers and copper vessels and couches." There were certain rules that the Pharisees would use. So this is talking about washing of hands. This is talking about eating bread without washing your hands. And so the context, again, in this whole section is not about meat. This context is about eating with unwashed hands. So looking back at verse 18 and 19, he said to them, because the disciples were eating bread without having washed their hands, "Are you also without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside can't defile him, because it doesn't enter his heart, but his stomach is eliminated, thus purifying all foods?" Just because you don't wash your hands doesn't mean that you're going to get sick and die. Christ is saying, have a little common sense about this. You don't have to wash your hands every time that you pick up a piece of bread. The disciples would go through the grain fields, and they would, obviously, they weren't washing their hands, and that was important to the Pharisees of the time. A small amount of dirt on the hands is not going to defile the bread. That's what Jesus Christ was trying to explain to them. He also talked about and gave them the spiritual principle about you need to be more worried about the evil that's in your heart rather than the dirt that is on your hands. So again, to be clear, this doesn't say that the Old Testament food laws are still in effect. It doesn't. This doesn't talk about meat at all. So you can't use this scripture to prove meat is okay, certain meats. You can't use this scripture to prove that certain meats are not okay. This just doesn't talk about meats. This talks about washing hands and bread. The topic of meat isn't even discussed. Here's one of the big ones. This is, anybody know what this one is? This is the famous vision from Peter. We're going to talk about this. This is Peter's vision. This is in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. For those of you out on the hallway, I'll give you a chance to get there. I've got these scriptures on the slide. Acts chapter 10, in verse 9. We'll start there. "The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray, being about the sixth hour. And when he became very hungry and wanted to eat, But while they made it ready, he fell into a trance. So he's a trance or a vision. So he's up, he's hungry. I don't know if he got so hungry that he kind of passed out from hunger or not, but while he was waiting to eat, he went into a trance. Verse 11, and saw heaven open, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. Verse 12, in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. So this is Jesus Christ telling Peter, all of these unclean animals that are in this sheet, I want you to eat them. Verse 14, but Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. I've underlined both of those words. We're going to talk about what they mean in the Greek. Verse 15, a voice spoke again to him a second time, saying, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. So rise, Peter, kill and eat. Is this a lesson from Jesus Christ that the Old Testament food laws are void? Again, you read the commentaries, and they will tell you that Jesus Christ was trying to explain that the Old Testament food laws were no longer in effect, and that he was trying to get Peter to understand that was the reason behind this. What I do find interesting here is Peter's first response is, I've never eaten anything like this. So obviously from Peter's perspective, you think back in Mark chapter 7 that we read earlier. Go back and look at that again. I think it was Mark 7. Yeah, Mark 7, where supposedly Christ purified all foods. Peter would have heard that as well, but Peter recognizes the fact that he still was following the food laws. So is Jesus Christ now just trying to help him to understand that those laws were done away with? Again, the commentaries would all tell you that. We'll get to these two words, common and unclean, in just a minute. I want to go forward to verse 19. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, and go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Verse 28, then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company or to go or be with one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So let's talk through this. Peter was actually being shown through this vision that the Gentiles were going to be allowed into the church. That was a horrifying thought. Even to this day, if you look at some of the words that Jewish people use for anybody that is not Jewish, they call them goy or goyim. It just means, they kind of do it even with a hand signal. We'll let the goy do it. It's kind of a disgusting word. They looked at the Gentiles as disgusting. So what did God do? Christ has this vision where Peter sees these disgusting things, and God says, rise and eat. So is this question referring to Jesus Christ trying to teach Peter clean and unclean meats? We see here that what Peter said, even himself, is God has shown me that if God cleanses something, I shouldn't call it common, or I shouldn't call it unclean. So was God cleansing all of the food, or was he simply telling Peter that he shouldn't call Gentiles unclean? To understand this properly, we need to understand the words common and unclean. We'll get to that in just a moment. This scripture is actually not discussing meat, but it's discussing people. We can't discern ourselves about meats from here because we need a much clearer scripture, and we're going to get it here in just a moment. So keep this in the back of your mind. We'll come back and talk about... actually, that's a catfish down there, isn't it? It looked like a catfish? Anybody ever had cat? How many in here have had like I know I'm talking to an audience. For those of you on watching on the internet, you can't see this, but have had like crawfish and lobster and all of that. So I did not come from an area where that was ever done. We didn't even have those animals around in Indiana. So this is a kind of a different thing for us down here. My very first, in fact, I think I've told you this before, my very first week that I was here, and I want to say, I think it was with Dr. Avent, We went out to dinner, and I don't know what restaurant it was, and I ordered a steak. And there's nothing on the menu other than I ordered a steak. And so I came, it was a ribeye, and it came, and it had this white glop of something on the top. And I said, what is that? That's crab. And I said, I ordered a steak. That's how we serve them. And I said, well, I don't eat that. You know, what if, I know people that are deathly allergic to shellfish. I mean, you know. And the waitress just looked at me and said, honey, this is Louisiana. And I thought, oh boy, what have I gotten myself into? Let's go to some of Paul's teachings. Let's go to, this is a supposedly a picture of what the Apostle Paul looked like. Hopefully he was a better looking man than that, but who knows. So let's go to Romans chapter 14, and let's look at what the Apostle Paul has to say here. Romans chapter 14, and we want to start in verse 14. This is Paul talking. I know and I am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So if you stop right there and you take it out of context, here's what it sounds like. If you don't want to eat it, that's fine, but I don't have a problem with it. Is that what he's saying here? Verse 15, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Don't destroy with your food the one with whom Christ died. Therefore, don't let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So again, it sounds like what Paul is saying is food isn't the issue. There's nothing that you should consider clean or unclean. It's just food. But if you're with someone who thinks that it's a bad idea, then just don't eat it for their conscience sake. Just kind of let that go. So again, what is the subject matter that's being discussed here? Let's go back earlier, Romans chapter 14 and verse 2. Here's what they were actually talking about. For one believes that you may eat all things, but another who is weak says we can only eat vegetables. This actually is talking about an ascetic way of life where people at the time were looking at the fact that the meat that was sold in the market was meat that was probably offered to an idol, since that's what the Greeks used to do. They would take their meat, and then they would go before a god, and they would offer it. And then they would take that meat and go to the marketplace and sell it. And so there were Christians that were coming along saying, I don't know whether this meat would have been offered to an idol, so to be on the safe side, I just will only eat vegetables. And so there were people that were in the church at the time that were saying, to be on the safe side, I'm just going to become a vegetarian. So Paul is now trying to address this. Animal sacrifices that were sold in the meat market, were those unfit for Christians to eat? Now, again, this goes back to the words common and unclean, which we'll talk about in just a moment. So there are two concepts in the Bible. One is an animal that is unclean, and another is an animal that is ceremonially unclean. There's a difference, and we'll talk about those. So an animal that is unclean would be something like a pig or whatever, where it doesn't have the requirements of the cloven hoof and the chew of the cud. But there are certain animals that are clean that could be ceremonially unclean. I'll actually read a couple of scriptures here in just a moment. As an example, in Leviticus, and we will turn back there, Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 39, it says that if a clean animal dies of its own, it is considered unclean, ceremonial unclean. You can't eat or even touch the dead body of a clean animal because it is ceremonially unclean. I want to look at two Greek words that are used here. These two Greek words are koinos and akathartos. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. But koinos is a word that is translated as unclean in the New Testament. And it means something that is common or ordinary. And this word is used from a ceremonial perspective. This is the word that Paul uses in Romans 14 when he says that there are unclean foods. He's talking about ceremonially unclean. The second Greek word is used to designate an animal that is not to be eaten. And when you go through in the New Testament, what we see in English, it just merely says unclean. But you have to look at the words to see what it is that they're talking about. Are they talking about koinos, which means a clean animal that has become unclean? Or is it talking about an animal that was unclean from the start? Romans chapter 14, as it's discussing meats offered to idols, this means that the meat was clean, but that it had been misused or offered to idols. So it had become ceremonially unclean in people's mind. Meat that was sacrificed to an idol and then sold in the marketplace. So can a Christian eat that type of meat? So what Paul was saying is, if it is a clean animal, even if it was offered to an idol, he said, I don't consider that ceremonially unclean. I don't consider that koinos. So I'm okay, Paul says, to eat that. So if it's beef and it was offered to an idol, then maybe it's going on my plate. I have no problem eating it. But if you're with another Christian and they don't think it's a good idea, then don't have your hamburger that day. Just don't offend people. But this is talking about koinos. This is not talking about the type of meat that was considered unclean by God. All right, a couple more, and then we'll draw this to a close. This is not a long sermon today, but it's one that I just thought would be a good idea to give. Here's one more example, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, this is also used by people to say that it's okay to eat any food. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and let's start in verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So what are the things that they would be doing in the end times that would be against what God was saying was okay? And here's a list, verse 3. They would forbid to marry. There were people at the time that thought that we're waiting for the return of Christ. Paul even kind of mentioned that. It's like, well, in this present time, while we're waiting for the return of Christ, I think it's better that you don't marry. But if you can't keep yourself from fornication, then it's okay if you got to. But I would prefer you didn't. There were people that were aesthetics that were coming along and saying that to marry was wrong, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Now, again, you stop right there and it says, well, okay, so there are people that were saying that we should abstain from foods which God says were okay. But let's go on and read verse 4. For every creature of God is good. All right, now it sounds like we're back to anything is okay to eat. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. So as long as you say a prayer over it, it's okay to eat. For it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. So as long as you say a prayer over it, so it almost sounds like if it's an unclean animal and you go to God and say, Father, I know this is unclean, but please clean it for me, then all of a sudden it becomes clean and it's okay to eat. And again, that's what the commentators will say about this, that this was the teaching of Paul at the time. Every creature is good for food as long as you pray over it. The problem that Paul was addressing with Timothy had to do with the ascetics that were in the area that were denying things. They were denying marriage. They were denying meat. They were denying normal things like living among other people. They would go off and live by themselves because they thought that even to be around other people that weren't ascetics would somehow taint them. And this belief was spreading through the idea of Gnosticism into the church at the time. So verse 3 tells us that, again, what is being discussed is meat that is clean to eat and all this food that was sanctified or set apart that is good for food. So what animals were sanctified by God as good for food? Well, we go back to Leviticus chapter 11 and we see those. Is it okay to be a vegetarian? Sure. Paul is not saying don't be a vegetarian. He's not saying go flaunt it in front of people. But he's also saying that it's okay to eat foods that God has said are clean. So, Timothy, don't get yourself sucked into that where the aesthetics are going to try and tell you all kinds of things that aren't true and that they're actually against the laws of God. God designed marriage for a reason. And for an ascetic to say that you shouldn't marry goes against the design of God. For an ascetic to say you shouldn't eat meats that God has purified or blessed, that goes against, again, what God said. All right, so let's draw this to a close. Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy 14 do give very clear instructions on which animals can and cannot be eaten. Nothing in the New Testament would invalidate that, the clear commands from the Old Testament. So again, how do we apply this today? We have to be diligent in trying to avoid meats that are unclean. We have to realize, and I would hope that we do through this, that it isn't just because some of these animals are unhealthy for us. We don't do it because of a health issue. We do it because we're told to. There may be many physical benefits to avoiding certain foods. Certainly, like I said, if I get into some type of meat that I shouldn't have had, it makes me sick. But we don't avoid those because of that. We avoid them because we're told not to. The spiritual component is, will we do what God says? Now, I have with me, and if you want to take these, I just have a few of them up here. They're on our website. They have a list of the clean and unclean foods. Actually, if you want to know this, I give this to the Convention Visitors Bureau in Orange Beach every year, and then they copy these and send them out to all of the restaurants in the area so that the restaurants know what we can and can't eat. And it's interesting because every year I usually get one or two restaurant managers that will call me and say, let's talk about this here, and they'll ask for some specifics, which I think is neat. So anyway, I have these here in case they are of interest to you. That is our basic or fundamental laws on foods.